Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 44, Preparing Equipment for Race Day. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. And today I'm going to briefly talk through equipment and thinking specifically for your half Ironman. Now, you've probably got most of the equipment already, but if you haven't, please go and get it, because you just, anything new, you need time just to test it all out, figure it out, get used to it. So please, if there's anything you need, get onto it straight away. I'll go through the three different disciplines, swim, bike, and run, and talking about things in there. So starting with swim. Number one, I'm going to assume that you have a wetsuit. Okay, maybe it's a new one, maybe it's an old one, but the question is, have you practiced putting it on and taking it off? Now, both of those are important, because putting it on, you need to get it really well on so that you've got mobility through your shoulders, so that it is going to work the way it was designed to. And getting it off is important after the swim, because you want to get it off as quick as you can, even if you're not full on racing. Why waste more time than you need to? Just get used to the idea of getting that wetsuit off. So look, in the next couple of weeks, do that when you're swimming in the wetsuit in the open water. Practice it. Even take it to the pool if you need to, but practice it. Now, if you've had a wetsuit for a while, you may have some little tears in it, which typically comes from fingernails or stretching and pulling at it when you're taking it on and off. If you've got those tears, then take them to a shop and get them fixed, or in most cases you can buy wetsuit cement and you can fix it yourself really, really easily. And because simply, if you don't, those are going to keep getting stretched and pulled out over time, and they're going to turn into big tears and holes in your wetsuit. Every event I see, there is always someone with holes in their wetsuit, or in fact I've seen a whole wetsuit just split in half on race morning, because little things hadn't been taken care of early on. So get on top of that, just make sure it's not going to be an issue for you. I'll touch on tri clothing now as well, because that's the ideal in terms of what you're going to wear all day. Because if you've got a tri suit, one piece, or most people tend to go for two piece, shorts and some kind of jersey or singlet, then you can wear it under your wetsuit, you wear it on the bike, and you wear it running. Don't have to think about getting changed. So look, yeah, most of you again will have that tri clothing, because quite honestly, if you want to wear bike shorts out there, I really don't know how you're going to get changed in an open transition without getting arrested for it. So just checking that you've got that clothing, you've tried it on since last season, that you've had some good rides in it, so your bum's used to the thin chamois, all of those things. Again, making sure you're ready to use it on race day. If you've got a choice of goggles, or even if you're going to go and buy some more goggles, really recommend getting tinted goggles. Even on a dull day, a good pair of tinted goggles will still help you see better. Okay, they just really make sure things are nice and clear in the water. Every swim starts somewhere around sunrise, so at some point on your swim course, you are going to be swimming directly into the sun. The tint doesn't solve that problem of sunstrike completely, but it helps a lot. But the biggest thing is making sure that you've got some anti-fog in your goggles. Now, if you've used them a few times, that anti-fog starts to wear off. And so, yeah, it doesn't matter how good your goggles are, if they fog up, you're still going to be able to see bugger all. So you can buy a little anti-fog spray. Plenty of people just do it at home themselves with toothpaste or dishwashing liquid. The big thing, though, is you've got to make sure that that stuff is cleaned out well, because you don't want any of that kind of residue to get into your eyes. It has happened, and it's been a nightmare for people out there on the course. Okay, that's probably it about the swim. The bike, lots of moving parts on a bike, so lots to go through here. A couple of podcasts ago, I mentioned the aero bars. If you haven't got them, get them. If you haven't been spending a lot of time in them, spend a lot of time in them. They are the one biggest weapon to give you a faster bike time. If it's going to be a cold day, then you may need some extra layers. Arm warmers are really common for a ride because they go on really easily. Some people can even wear them under the wetsuit. But if you feel like you need another layer, make sure it's as tight as it can possibly be. Because even if you've got these new aero bars and you're maximizing your time in them, if you've got a big flappy jacket, that's just going to negate all of that benefit of your aero bars. Anything flappy is going to create massive amounts of drag. So if you do need some extra clothing, make sure it's going to be as tight as it possibly can. I think I mentioned before, aero helmet is a relatively good value for money gain in terms of performance. So yeah, if you're in the market for a new helmet or you have the choice of it, then yes, go for an aero helmet. There's the most of the New Zealand events. In fact, yeah, you're not going to get... aero helmets had a really bad reputation for being really hot. They've got a lot better, and the New Zealand events, you can get away with it fine. You're really only going to get really hot on the run if it's one of those days. Okay, race wheels. Now, it's more common these days that someone with a new bike might get a set of very decent wheels with them that's used for both training and racing. But if you have a separate set of wheels, or if you're going to borrow a separate set of wheels off someone, then there's a couple of things you need to make sure you're on top of. Number one is that when that wheel goes onto your bike, where the cassette and the derailleur and chain all align could be a little bit off. No two wheels are going to be necessarily exactly the same the way they connect in there. So you're going to need to get a tune-up done on your bike. And you may have to swap brake pads as well if you're going from aluminium to carbon wheels. So, look, you just want to get all of that done well ahead of time so that you're practiced, you know that your gears are changing just nice and smooth. Everything is just working well as it should be down there. And look, the obvious time is that most people are going to get a bike service done before race day. So that's the chance to take all the kit to the shop, make sure they've got it tuned up nicely and it's good to go. But don't leave that bike service until the day before you're traveling. Actually get it done earlier so that if they have to install new cables for any reason, if they've put on these different wheels for you, you've got a chance to ride it and test it and know everything is absolutely 100% rather than getting it done at the last minute and then finding it still needs some tweaking after that. You just don't need the stress of it. I mentioned race wheels, but also even if you're not going to get race wheels, a good set of race tyres makes a huge difference. Okay, we had a big chat about this on spring camp that we did, and just yeah, very clearly from my riding and from what the discussions there, a cheap tyre is made to be cheap. It's not going to roll well. It's not going to be a fast tyre. You get the better race tyres, it's quite amazing, even just on an ordinary set of wheels, what a difference these tyres make, because they just work so much better with the road to reduce the rolling resistance, that contact patch between the tyre and the road, or make it work better together. So yeah, even if you're not looking at wheels, please do consider race tyres. Again, get them early, get them on, test them out. Yes, they have a reputation for being more puncture prone. But if you figure out you get your tyre pressure right, you watch where you're riding, you can ride these things happily and it's all okay. Now, on the subject of tyres, you see most people pumping up their tyres on race morning. But actually, most people don't know why they're doing it. It just seems to be a cultural thing that's what you do on race morning. So, the reason for it is often talked about temperature changes. Okay, when you put your bike in transition, maybe the afternoon before, if your event does that, you're going to be sitting out there in the hot sun, so you don't want a lot of pressure in the tyres. Or, yeah, people believe you don't. Don't want to have any risk of a tyre popping or a tube popping. So they let out a bit of pressure then, so come in the next morning and just check it and make sure it's right. That's totally legit. But more than that, if you're using latex tubes, which are basically lighter, more supple, faster than your standard inner tube, then those latex tubes is that they lose air a lot quicker than your standard tube. So if you do have those tubes, you definitely do want to check your pressure on race morning. The only thing that you want to be aware of is not over pumping your tyre on race morning. Chances are it's going to be cold first thing in the morning when you're doing it. So you want to get it close to your race day pressure, knowing that if it's going to be a hot day, it's just going to heat things up, the pressure will come up ever so slightly. Now, this is much less of a concern these days because everyone should be running lower tyre pressure than several years ago. Again, a big discussion on camp how it used to be, oh, you pump up your tyres to 100 or 120 psi. But the majority of tyres that you're buying these days do not need to be pumped up that high. So if you're unsure about it, go and have a chat to your bike shop and really get clear what kind of pressure you should be riding with. And guess what? Practice it before race day. Get used to how the bike handles and feels at that pressure. Okay, now, your chances are you have a Garmin or some kind of computer on your bike or on your wrist. Make sure it's somewhere where you can see it. If you want to use power or heart rate as you are out there on the day, then it needs to be somewhere where you can easily see it. For most people, if it's just a watch sitting on your wrist, you're either going to forget or it's awkward. Chances are you're not going to use it very much. Figure out how that thing is going to be mounted in a place where you can see it and it's not in the way of anything. Related to your Garmin is a lot more people these days have a power meter. And just one thing to know with power meters is that ideally they should be calibrated before every ride that you do. But of course, you don't want to come into transition after you swim and have to sit there and faff around calibrating your power meter. So what you do is on race morning, as you go into transition, you set yourself up beforehand, you do your calibration then, you turn off your Garmin, you just leave everything there. Your power meter will remember that last calibration that it's done, and it will have that stored, and it will use that. So you don't even have to think about it after that. If you get a message flash up on your Garmin asking you to calibrate once you start the bike ride, you can just ignore it, knowing that you've already done it. Piece of cake. And on that technology side of it as well, just making sure that if there is anything that needs batteries checked or replaced or being charged up, so we're talking power meters, we're talking DI2, Garmins, all of those kind of things, is make sure somewhere in your checklist of the things you're going to do is to replace those batteries or to fully charge everything. Because, yeah, it's just suddenly, if that's not going on the day, it's a waste of all this technology. Okay, lots there on the bike. Just run briefly. Obviously, yeah, you're going to have shoes, clothing, probably a hat, something like that. With your shoes, a lot of people will have stretchy laces. And you might think, well, I'm not out there to race it. I don't need those super fast transitions. But the great benefit of stretchy laces is that if your fingers are cold or from either the wind or just being inactive on the bike, you don't have to faff around with trying to do up shoelaces. It also means that they're not going to come undone halfway through the ride, halfway through the run, because then you've got to stop and fiddle around with them again. Okay, stretchy laces are great. Simple, work really well. Get them in, get used to them, so you've got a few runs just with the right kind of tension or pressure on them. Most events these days, they require you to wear your race number on the run only. On the bike, you're going to have a sticker on your bike and maybe a tattoo somewhere as well. So you only need to wear your number on the run, pick it up in transition too. The simplest way is having that on a race belt. It's already attached. It's just sitting in transition. You can grab it, and as you're leaving transition, put it around your waist, clip it on. Now, you might have a few other things with you as you're leaving transition as well, that you might have a visor, you might have picked up your watch because you've got a different Garmin on your bike, you might have a bit of nutrition you're going to carry, who knows what. Simple tip, any of those things, get a Ziploc bag that's big enough to hold them, stick it all in there, so all you've got to do when you come into transition, get your shoes on, pick up this bag and start moving. Then as you're moving, you can unpack the bag, stick things in your pocket, put your watch on, do whatever you need to. But that's far better than just standing around in transition for whatever it might be, anywhere between 20 seconds and a couple of minutes, doing all of those things individually. You can do them on the move. It just keeps you going. It's time saved. And it doesn't matter at what point you are in the field, a couple of minutes saved in each transition starts to add up to a big difference. And finally, just on transition, is thinking about what goes in there. Put into transition only the things you will absolutely need on the day. Don't have a pile of options, okay? Don't have, well, I might have a banana on the bike and I might take some gels and, or maybe it'll be cold, I'll stick a jacket in there as well. No. You make all of your decisions beforehand. You have a look at the weather forecast the night before. You figure out what you need and you put in transition only what you need. That way, no decisions to be made. You come into transition, you deal with the stuff that's right in front of you and you move off again. Really, really is that simple. Okay, look, that's a really brief run through a whole lot of equipment related things for race day. So any questions, please hit me. Do ask about those. Otherwise, go and get all this stuff ready. Get it on your checklist. Practice using it, do everything you can so that it's all absolutely sorted by race day.